Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Coming up on this week's episode of Barb Knows Best, the podcast.
So often people stay in family relationships or stay connected longer than they want to, even after going through everything you just said, figuring out what they want because it's family, I have to. But if it's not healthy for you, you don't have to stay just because you share DNA.
Hello, everyone. Hi, friends. Welcome back to Barb Knows Best, the podcast. It's me, Michelle, your co-host, and I am sitting here with my mom, Barb, and we are so excited to be back with another episode chatting with you all about life's most interesting and important topics, and it's actually this week your most interesting and important topics, which is more to come. But anyways, before we get too far down the road. Hi, Mom.
Hi, Michelle. I love how you said that.
Do you?
Yeah, it's so cool.
In what way?
Actually, this week, it's your most interesting topics. I love that. Mm-hmm. You teased that very well.
You know, sometimes it hits right.
Yeah, it was good.
So good. I guess since the cat is out of the bag, this week we're going to be answering your guys' questions that we pooled for you all on social media. So an early plug, if you don't follow us on social media, you couldn't have asked your question because that's where we did it.
You're so cute. Yeah. And we love answering your questions and we love hearing from you. So yeah, let us know what you want us to talk about. But this time we are doing a whole Q&A on questions that you submitted via Instagram.
A whole Q&A on questions?
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
They can't all be hits.
Yeah. We're going to answer your questions. I love Michelle and I love this so much. And we may make this like a regular thing, asking, listening to what's all up for you. You know, life is difficult. We talk about that a lot on the podcast, and we have the tips and the tools that we use and have the experiences that we have to try to navigate the rough waters that can be out there.
Yeah, we haven't done a Q&A episode in a while, but I enjoy reaching out to you all and hearing what is up for everyone that writes in to us. Because as we talk about so often on the show, whenever we hear from you guys in general, when you say, oh, this episode on this resonated with me because I'm going through this, or when you guys talked about this, it was perfect timing, it is comforting. Because it makes me feel, or us feel, like, wow, we really aren't alone in our experiences. We might all be going through different iterations of things, but the human experience is very similar. And that's oddly comforting.
It really is. And I think it's also what I love so much in sharing my experiences and you sharing yours. What I love so much is it's all and good to have the tips and the tools and hear the great quotes and all of the things in life and look at the examples and the experiences of other people. But then there's the other side of it that I'm always looking at when I'll hear one of my favorite teachers or an author or someone say something so profound, because I feel like that's how we learn, by really listening to other people and doing some reading and all of the things. And then I think, okay, now how can I put this into my own life, in my own life? How would this work for me? What does this look like for me? Because we're all unique human beings, which you say quite often, Michelle, in your work. And so how do we do it? So I've had, I'm laughing because, and I'm bringing this up because I've had this song stuck in my head.
I can't wait to hear.
Since before recording this and since talking about this and, you know, getting assembled all the questions that you've asked us. Taking it to the streets. Taking it to the streets. Da-da-da-da-da. Taking it to the streets. You know, how do we take our practice to the streets? Like, how do we take our practice into daily life?
I cannot believe that we just got you singing.
I know.
On the podcast. This is
taking it to the streets.
I'm actually too stunned to speak, even though I'm speaking, because I can't believe you just that happened. I always try to record you or have you sing something for the internet, and you never allow it. So this is a premiere. A world premiere, a Barb exclusive. Wow.
It's true. You know, never say never. And one of the things that I've been working in my own life is being a lot more carefree, less focused on work and the things that matter so much to me. Not that I'm not focusing on the things that matter, but just being a little bit more lighthearted, being a little bit more carefree, being a little bit more fun.
I feel that in you.
Yeah. I mean, not only just having more fun, but being more fun. Like, how could I be fun? And I love music and I love to sing, but no one ever gets to hear me sing because my voice is so bad. It's not great.
Look, you have a lot of skills. Maybe singing isn't your forte.
It's okay.
But I enjoy hearing you sing, even if by standard definitions, you're not maybe the best singer. I'm not the best singer.
But isn't that what's beautiful about life? Sorry to interrupt you, but isn't that what's beautiful about life, that we can enjoy another person that we love or a group of people that we care about deeply, or just in life, if we're a little bit more lighthearted, we can actually enjoy listening to someone who maybe doesn't have the greatest voice just because it touches your heart so deeply.
Mm-hmm. And well, I'm glad that we now have this for forever.
Well, it doesn't mean I'm going to ever do it again. No.
Well, I know, but even if you never do it again, we all have it. Yes. I will be able it to is. 10 years, 15 mm-hmm. years down the road, mm-hmm. scroll back to mm-hmm. the 5-minute mark of this episode and listen to you sing. And that is the gift.
Well, let's take it to the streets. Let's take it to the streets. Let's answer some questions.
Take it to the streets. That was I segued in and you loved it. I mm-hmm. loved your segue now.
Great. Wow. Great.
What a team. All right. Lots of questions, lots of common themes and trends, which of course I find so interesting. And I'm really excited to dive into these.
I'm loving the first one.
Oh, you want to start there?
Oh, no. Start wherever you'd like. No. You're the boss. Start wherever you'd like. But I just want to say to all of you that sent questions in, thank you.
Yes, thank you so much for being vulnerable and sharing.
Yeah,
with us.
We really appreciate you. And I love reading your questions, because to tell you the truth, I've been through every single one of these. Well, and I think most people listening have been through every single one of these. And that's the beauty, what you said, Michelle, earlier, that you really recognize, and why we love the Q&A so much, is that we're not alone. We're not alone mm-hmm. in our experiences. We really do all share the same thing. And that's, we're human beings. Mm-hmm. We're human beings with human experiences, and it's hard. It can be really, really hard. And then to have someone actually say, "Hi, I've been there too, I understand," is really heartwarming.
Also,
and powerful.
Also, reading these questions and seeing what people are struggling with, it can help to remind us that, or to hopefully remind us to have some self-compassion for struggling with how to deal with some of life's challenges. Like, none of us are given a guidebook on how to live life. And so if we're experiencing a situation that we don't know how to handle, or we feel stuck, or we're not sure what to do, and we're like, oh, you know, well, I don't know what to do. Everyone else knows what to do, or, you know, any of those thoughts that we tell ourselves, like, no, we all go through these things, and it's normal and part of life to not know how to navigate stuff sometimes.
And
so
I think
doing the best we can.
Yeah, doing the best we can. And it's why I think of life as being on the job training or a science experiment, and we are the scientists of our own lives. We aren't given a guidebook, like you said, Michelle, in anything. We really aren't when it comes to life. We are we are on the job training. And I think this could be a whole nother episode, but I think that's why it is critically, critically important to have our own, know our own worth, know our own values. What do we value? Where do we want to go? All the things that we talk about here on the podcast. So, because everything else is just trial and error, what works and what doesn't work, what hurts people and what doesn't, how am I harming myself? It's just trial and error. Oh, I won't do that again. So I love it. I love it because it really epitomizes what life is about. And that's hardships and fun and pain and suffering. It's always one or the other. There's never going to be all of one or all of another. So if once we get that and we learn that we're in this great, big, huge boat called life together.
A boat called life.
Yeah. The ship, this great, big, huge ship.
Wow.
So,
to start, a little bit of a lighthearted one because we do get this often on a regular basis, numerous times. Have we always been close? And also we did get some questions asking what is our relation to each other? And I get that sometimes people, you know, are new to us and new to the podcast. And it's always nice to chat about us first. Let's talk about us. Isn't that fun? So yeah.
First we are mother daughter. Yeah, we are mother daughter.
Barb is my mom.
Yeah.
She's always been my mom, so that's good. But I really hope that whoever's listening to this and who might need this takes in, because I do still think, even though we have talked about this on other episodes and in other Q&As and on social media, people thinking that our relationship is perfect and that we have reached some sort of pinnacle of mother-daughter perfection and mother-daughter goals, and that we don't struggle or fight or any of those things. And it's just not true. We have issues. We spend a lot of time together. And, you know, if you spend a lot of time with anyone, you will have, you'll butt heads. You guys know I'm currently living with her. That's added another layer. It's great, but we struggle. And that's just a normal aspect of human relationships. So, I mean, yes, we've always been close because you and my dad got divorced when I was very young. And so, you know, I kind of think that that changed our relationship in a way where, you know, I don't know, that made us a little bit closer in a different degree. And we've always been in each other's lives, but we've had rocky chapters of our lives for sure. And so, I think don't look at us and feel bad about whatever it is that you have in your life, because we've gone through a lot and still go through a lot, and no relationship is ever perfect.
No. And I think when someone asks that question, have you always been close? I think I like to look at that as yes, we have always been close. And I think maybe a little bit different take than you, Michelle. I think regardless of whether your dad and I got divorced or not, I think we would have always been close because I adore you. I love you. I am so grateful to have a daughter like you from the day you were born up until now at 38 years old. And so,
thank you.
So, but it doesn't mean, I think that's what I want to say. You know, when people say love is not enough, no, I mean, it's not enough because the love has to also encompass respect and allowing the other person to be who they are and not trying to control them. And I can still love you, but if I try to control you, we'll never have a relationship.
Yeah.
So it really goes along with all those other things. You also have to respect the person. I have to respect my daughter. I have to give her license to be her own unique human being and not try to control her and not try to constantly nitpick at little things. And of course, as I said, life is an experiment and we learn by trial and error. Of course, I tried to control her. Of course, I tried to do all of those things. And that's the beauty of life. We grow better and wiser. We have so much more wisdom. Like today when I realize I'm trying to control you in something, or I say something that maybe hurt your feelings, or I said something that maybe was not necessarily in my best interest or yours, I'm immediately aware of it.
You are.
It might take an hour sometimes, but rarely it doesn't. I'm immediately aware of it. And I say, okay, wait a minute. Yes, I said this and I did this and I did this because this is how I feel, but I don't ever want to imply that I'm going to tell you how you have to feel and how you have to act and what you have to do. Mm-hmm. So I think if in listening to this, have we always been close? Yes. And do we love each other deeply? Yes. We've had our ups and downs. We've had, I mean, that's life. As you said, yeah. Michelle, we've had trials and tribulations in life, but we've never gone, I don't know if we've ever gone more than a day without speaking to each other.
Well, when you go on retreats.
No. I mean, if we've had a disagreement or if we've had an argument. So I think when you're looking at, when you're looking at relationships, always factor in, for me, the respect.
Yeah.
The non-controlling, the non-judging, me mm-hmm. not judging. I remember one time you were getting ready for school. I think it was high school, but it might've been middle school. And I said, honey, before we left the house, I said, are you going to brush your hair?
You still say that to me.
Well, not so much though. In a joke today. And you said what's it to you? Or why do you care? Or often you'd say no. And I'd say, you can't possibly go to school with your hair not brushed. And you would say, Mom, I can do what I want with my hair. And I remember thinking, I would leave the room thinking, oh my gosh, she's going to school with her hair not brushed. But then I would say, like halfway through the day, I would think, who cares? Like, this is her hair. This is her life. You know, because in my mind, I'm thinking, oh, I want to protect you. I don't want somebody to make fun of you. I don't want somebody to bully you, blah, blah, blah. All the things that we do as a parent sometimes. And then I would think, okay, well, that's for her to figure out. And now when I think back on that as a 67-year-old woman, I'm like, wow, when you think back and reflect back on things that we used to do or things that we used to say, it's like, wow, what was I thinking? But of course, that's what we were thinking because that was the 30-something mother.
Yeah.
And so just being gentle and caring with yourself and loving with yourself and loving with your children, just giving them a break that they are exploring the same way you are exploring this path that we call life.
Yeah.
And they're taking it to the streets.
Taking it to the streets.
You know, just like we as adults are taking it to the streets.
Yeah.
And so not having the expectation, but I also want to caveat that I do recognize I had a very tumultuous relationship with my mother. I had a very difficult relationship with my mother. She was an alcoholic and so much more wrapped around that. And we've talked about a little bit on some of the other episodes. So I also do recognize it can be very painful and very hard. And it took me decades of therapy and hard work and on myself and wanting to be the person that I knew that I was from the inside out. So I also recognize that. I don't want to paint a panacea that if you just respect and you do this and you do that, no, that it's all going to be great.
There's the baseline of that so that we can work with it. But that kind of leads us nicely into another question about how to deal with family estrangement issues and how to know when to let go or when to hold on and, you know, how to really deal with those toxic family dynamics. And certainly when I saw this come through, I'm like, well, we've got a lot of that. You know, it's funny because going back to the last question, yeah, we're really close, but we're kind of all each other has because everyone else is gone. So, you know,
it's true. That is kind of true.
The grass isn't always greener. Yeah. We've had family is tough.
Yeah, it is. And it's a really hard question to answer. And we've had it many, many, many times because it is really hard. You're in it for the long haul, I would have to say. And you can chime in here, Michelle, of course. But for me, and when I look at my family, when Michelle says we're all we've got, all of our family is not dead, but we are estranged from a good deal of our family. So you're in it for the long haul. You really have to. It's one thing for me to sit here and say this after all the years of dealing with an estrangement and having all the difficulties and all the situations. It's I don't want to say it's easy, but it's been hard all this time. But now I can honestly sit here and say that I love my family very much, but I don't really have anything to do with them. I don't have any contact with them. Mm-hmm. And I wish them well, and I wish them the best, and I hope that they're well, and I love them, but there's just really no contact. So, but it took a long time to get there. And I think what helped me get there more and more was that first, I can't control them. They can't be who I think that they should be or who I think that I want them to be. And I can't be who they want me to be or who they think that I should be. And we did the route of having some good conversations along the way. But at the end of the day, they are who they are and I am who I am. And there are some real non-negotiables on both sides. So I think why I'm able to wish them well and send them love is they're not 100% wrong and I'm not 100% wrong. I'm not all right and they're not all right. It's so important for me. It has been so important to get that way where I found a good landing place with this that, yeah, I get it. I can't be who they want me to be. And nor would I want to be who they want me to be and vice versa. And I'm okay with that. I think too often we try to, you use this, Michelle, often too, put a square peg in a round hole. We try to make it something that it just can't be. Mm-hmm. And I think that is how I have been processing, managing, dealing with, working my way through for the past 20 years or so. Mm-hmm. And every family is different. So I can't speak to your family estrangement issues and your things that you're dealing with in your lives listening to this, but I can speak to, you have to know who you are. You have to know what you want. You have to love and accept yourself completely and think and know that you are worthy. You have to have good. I have to truly want to not do harm, mm-hmm. but I also don't want to harm myself. So it's really that greater picture of who am I and what do I want to be and what can I do and what can I not do and still live a life that's in alignment for me, but also still live a life that has some sanity. I remember there was a little phase there where I tried to be something that I was and I can do this. I love them. But I couldn't. It kind of made me insane. And you woke me up to that. You said, Mom, do you realize every time we do this, you're either going for a ride in the car or you're going to sleep outside underneath a tree or you're finding any way that you can to escape. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until you really said that, I was thinking it, but it wasn't until you really said that, it opened my eyes. So I'm saying all this to say that I can't say in the second part of the question was, is it best to address them or let them go? I think it's always great to have a conversation if you can. Mm-hmm. And in one situation with one of my relatives, they wouldn't allow the conversation. So it was the process for me of letting go. But I don't believe we ever have to actually let go of the love. And that's where I find my place right now. I love them and I really, truly wish them well. And it's okay that they're not in my life. Mm-hmm. I've learned to live my life because I'm in alignment with myself. And I know that I can't live life any other way. I know that about me. And I'm here to live the greatest version of who I am from the inside out. So I think, and Michelle, I'll let you speak, but I think if you really do a deep dive into yourself, who are you? You know, how do you feel? What do you want? What matters to you? What are your values? And if it works and it's safe for you to have a conversation, have the conversation. Look, this doesn't work for me. That doesn't work for me. Or this is how I feel. Without judgment, without comparison, without trying to fix them. See, it's so important, those three things. Have the conversation and you'll leave the conversation knowing, okay, that felt good. Or, wow, I get it. Now I have to truly look at what are my options. Mm-hmm. Because maybe the option of them coming around, so to speak, is not there.
That's so true. And the only thing, I have two things that I would add to that is, first, somehow deprogram your mind from the concept that blood is thicker than water, that family is everything. All of those things that we have been told for forever about family and how it's supposed to play out in our lives and what it's supposed to look like and how we're supposed to associate with family because everyone's different. Every situation is different and it's just, it doesn't apply. And I think so often people stay in family relationships or stay connected longer than they want to, even after going through everything you just said, figuring out what they want because it's family, I have to. And you don't. I mean, obviously I wouldn't tell anyone, you know, without, I'm not saying like go break up with all of your family members, but if it's not healthy for you, you don't have to stay just because you share DNA. And I think that's been a really helpful thing for me to come to terms with during our most recent, you know, issues with some of our family during your divorce. And secondly, it's interesting, especially to think about some of the examples you were talking about in our lives when you said you would kind of become, you know, a different person during different family situations. And I was thinking about, there's a quote from our friend Nedra Glover Tawab, who's a boundaries expert. And she says, to paraphrase, look at where you complain the most in your life or where you're always, yeah, complaining. And that's where you need to set a boundary. And I think if you're spending a significant chunk of your energy and time and mental space complaining about a dynamic in your family, whether it's, you know, a parent or a sibling, spouse, friend, any kind of relationship, really, you know, our life is short, our time is precious and valuable. To me, that's a signifier that some sort of boundary needs to be set with that relationship because it's not a healthy use of your time. And so that would be my first step of, am I complaining about someone nonstop? And I think that was, you know, us, there would be days leading up and days, you know, coming out of conversations and complaints and gripes and gossip. And do you want to live that way?
Yeah. And that's why I started this whole answer to this question is this is probably one of the most difficult questions in life, I believe, because we do have our family. We do think society has kind of ingrained us with the thought that, you know, really made us believe that family, the blood is thicker than water and family's family. And yes, family is family, but that doesn't mean that you sacrifice yourself for the sake of the family.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm going to end with this, that I think it's so key to really do before you even have a discussion is to really do some thought processing and really sit with yourself and really just think and journal and do whatever it is that feels right for you and getting clear on what is it about the relationship and what is it about the person. And then once you've done that, if it's something that you can't control in them, then think of a way that you can start. That's why I love Nedra. If you're not following Nedra Glover Tawab, it's a must because her boundaries expertise is off the charts. Amazing. Life-changing. Obviously we know you're not able to change the other person. And if you've already had conversations and the other person's not changing, then you have to do some deep soul searching and think, okay, now what can I do? And then you have the conversation and just say this, I use this phrase a lot. This just doesn't work for me.
Yeah.
I can't live my life. My life just doesn't work. I can't live my life this way. And so then, but I'm not saying that you have to acquiesce to what I'm saying. It's kind of like you just putting it out there that this is how it is for me. And then you have to start the conversation. You could start the conversation from there without saying when you do this or you do this or you do this, putting everything that you say in the eye and start from there. But it's very, very, very hard. And my heart always goes out when I hear family things because I know I've been there. I'm not there anymore because I've made peace with it, but we are estranged. So it's okay. It's more than okay. I think it works for both of us. And when you can still have the love and thinking that love doesn't have to be a certain way, but it can be just that you care about the person in whatever the way that they are. That's what I love the most. We should do a whole episode on this, Michelle. I don't know if we have or not, but the idea of how do you love someone deeply, but not have to be in their lives?
Well, it's interesting because earlier today in a meeting, you were talking about love and what love actually is and what we think love is. And I think that's exactly what you're talking about. Yeah. So sure.
Let's do that.
Pin it, Barb.
Let's do that.
Okay, friends, as much as I care about my health, wellness, and feeling good from the inside out, as we know, life is busy, unpredictable, hectic, and chaotic. And for me, sometimes things just fall through the cracks. You all know I'm a soda girly through and through, and some days it feels like I'm just not eating all of the healthy foods that I know that my body needs, which is why I absolutely love having AG1 as part of my daily routine. AG1 is a foundational nutrition supplement that delivers daily nutrients and gut health support and is backed by multiple research studies so you can trust what you're putting into your body, which is so important to me. I know there's so many supplements and vitamins and things out there, and it can be hard to know what to choose and what to trust, but I trust AG1 because they are trusted by experts and medical professionals that give you one less thing to research. I know that what I'm putting into my body is safe, healthy, and effective. AG1 is also a game changer when it comes to gut health, digestion, and keeping things regular, which we all know is super important. If I had to recommend one product to support whole body health, it's AG1. And that's why I'm excited to welcome them as a partner. If you want to take ownership of your health, it starts with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free one-year supply of vitamin D3, K2, and five free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase at drinkag1.com/barbknowsbest. That's drinkag1.com/barbknowsbest. Check it out. After years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by overpriced wireless providers, if we've learned anything, it's that there's always a catch. So when I heard that for a limited time, all Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a three-month plan, I thought, what's the catch? But after talking to them, it all made sense. There isn't a catch because Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online. They don't have retail stores or salespeople. Instead, they deliver premium phone plans directly to you, which is why I'm so glad to have found Mint Mobile. Say bye to your overpriced wireless plans, jaw-dropping monthly bills, and unexpected overages because Mint Mobile is here to rescue you with premium wireless plans starting at $15 a month. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with your existing contacts. Ditch overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your new three-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/barbknowsbest. That's mintmobile.com/barbknowsbest. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/barbknowsbest. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first three-month plan only. Speeds slower than 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
If you and your team want to cut down on busy work and get more choice and control over accounts payable, you need Bill. Bill Accounts Payable is your secret weapon for saving time on AP. And with a special offer at bill.com/podcast, you'll save money too. With Bill, streamline your entire AP process, including bill creation, approvals, and payments. You can pay with ACH, credit card, check, and international wire transfer. Plus, you can easily integrate with most accounting software. No wonder hundreds of thousands of businesses are already using Bill to manage their AP. Schedule a free demo now to see how Bill can automate your financial operations. And right now, get 15% off when you subscribe to Bill Accounts Payable. There's never been a better time to sign up. This special offer is available for a limited time only at bill.com/podcast. Terms apply. See bill.com/podcast for details.
So the next question kind of ties into this. I love how these are just flowing right along, but kind of piggybacking off of this, how do you find closure then if you don't get the apology or you don't feel complete or you don't get the conversation or you don't get to speak your piece or tell your truth or stand up for yourself? This person is asking, how do you find closure? But my question would be, do you need to find closure?
I think
and
that was
closure kind of what we get wrong about it.
I think, you know, you and I are famous for
we're famous
redefining words, like putting a definition to a word that other people have defined necessarily, or society or whatever. For what does closure mean? And so if we're looking for me, closure, oh, this is so layered too, Michelle. We could do a whole episode on this. I think we just should take everybody's question to a whole episode. We'll have an episode for the whole year. Because here's the thing, I don't even know where to go with this. This could take 10 minutes or whatever, Michelle, so I don't even know. But here's the thing. I was sexually assaulted as a child. And so I live with that. I couldn't speak. I couldn't tell. I couldn't, you know, all the things, which is a whole nother thing that we'll talk about one day in more detail. But you've heard, if you haven't been, you've heard the stories of how that affects young girls. And so then as I grew to be an adult, you know, still not telling anyone, and then I developed the eating disorder of bulimia at the age of 21, went into treatment for the bulimia at age 28. And my therapist said to me, we talked about it, that was probably the main thing that we talked about in therapy there in treatment. And she said to me, are you willing to confront your uncle? And I said, no, and I don't even know where he lives. And she said, okay. And when she said, okay, I can't even tell you what a relief that was. Because I just, something inside of me knew that that was just not going to happen. I knew my family. I knew there was nothing good that was ever going to, I was that intuitive at that young age. And she goes, okay.
Well, and you didn't feel safe, probably.
Yeah, true. And I said, do I have to? And she said, of course not. I said, okay. So, you know, another 10 years of therapy. And then of course my meditation and my mindfulness practice and all of the programs and all the things and the 12-step for all the things. I've done so much for my recovery over the past 40 years. Now, it didn't take me 40 years to come to a closure with the abuse from my uncle. It actually, you know, healing is healing. I don't believe it's ever healed. Just like in recover, you're never recovered. You're always recovering. Mm-hmm. My belief, this is my own take on it. And so I, little by little, I came to a place of my closure. I came to a place, I wasn't, all the things that were wrong about it. I felt like what I made it, I was suffering because he sexually assaulted me, but I was also suffering more because I was piling on to the suffering. It was my fault. I did this. I believe a lot of times, in many instances, the abused takes the blame or thinks that they did something wrong or feels guilty. And so once I stopped doing all of those things, once my therapist and my recovery and all of the things helped me to start seeing, like, wait a minute. And as I grew a little bit older and I started saying, wait, he's an adult, a 30 something year old adult, and I'm a kid. This what's, you know, now I'm a mother and I'm raising a child. So little by little, I started to see, wait a minute, I wasn't to blame. I was victimized, but I'm never going to claim the word victim because I want my power. Mm-hmm. So I say all of that, that was closure for me. So I got great closure from that. So for me, the definition of the word closure is, what do I need? Mm-hmm. And really, what do I need and what could I possibly get? And so, as you said, Michelle, safety was involved with all those things. So I think if you're having difficulty getting closure, sit in quiet with yourself, which is our practice, what Michelle and I do on a regular every single day. And just ask yourself, what do I need from this situation? And even paint the scenario in your head. If they gave you the apology, what would it do? Because sometimes apologies are just, okay, I apologize, you know, whatever it is. Would the apology matter? And I think in my uncle's case, I decided it didn't matter one bit. What mattered is, I felt like in that moment when my therapist asked me that, what mattered is I wanted to be free of the burden that I was carrying inside, the guilt or the shame and all of the things that went along with it. So ask yourself, what do you need from the apology? And if you need the person to apologize and change their behavior, that's a hard task. Because first of all, are they going to be willing to? Or first of all, are they ever going to be able to admit? But then second, are they going to be able to be willing to? So I think for me, it means, what do I need regardless of the other person? That's the definition of closure I've come to in my life. Yeah. none of my family has apologized, you know, for anything. And it doesn't matter. I love them and I wish them well. Because closure for me is, what do I need to live, you know, my strong, loving, caring, passionate life for the things that I care deeply about, being in alignment with my values.
Yeah, that's very well said. And I think for me, it's redefining closure to where, at least from the way this question was framed, and I think how we often talk about closure, it's getting something from the other person. So it takes it away from you and puts it on someone else. And we can never control or force anything from someone else. Even if it's a black and white situation where you were wronged and the other person was in the wrong, you can never force someone for an apology. And thinking that your healing or your closure will come from someone else is going to leave you waiting forever. And so I always view these kinds of difficult situations in life with other people as more, what do I need to do to heal for myself? And, you know, an apology or an acknowledgement is kind of a cherry on top, but, you know, never live your life to expect it.
You know, it is a cherry on top. I like the way you said that, but I've known several instances in our lives where we got the apology in certain instances, but the behavior never changed.
Right.
You know, it was in a different form. It wasn't the exact same thing that happened, but it was in a different form. So I love what you just said, the idea that what do you need for yourself? And you could be waiting for a very long time to get someone to actually admit that they're sorry and then actually change the behavior so that you feel good about the apology. Rarely, it's not often that we feel good about apologies that people give us, especially if it's something, this must be something big. Because you're right. It says apology, that how do you deserve. Find closure when you never get the apology you deserve? And I think the greatest question to ask is, what do I deserve? What do I want? And how can I find my own closure? Which is what you were saying, Michelle. And I love that.
I had an interesting situation happen recently. And someone from my past came back around and more or less gave me the closure that I was seeking 10 years ago, 15 years ago. But it was 10 to 15 years later. And I'm like, now that is a slow burn, because back in when the challenge in this relationship was happening, all I wanted was for this person to acknowledge, you know, my suffering, or to apologize for how things went down, or to stand up for me, or all of the things. And that didn't happen. And I suffered a lot. And I suffered a lot for, why isn't this person acting differently? Why isn't this person choosing me? I thought we were better friends than this. All of the things that go through our minds. And I suffered a lot about this relationship, this friendship. And, you know, ultimately I had to kind of move on with my life and clean up my side of the street and do my own thing and let it go. But it was painful. It's still painful. And having a situation now where this person kind of comes back to acknowledge me, and I didn't get exactly verbatim the script of what I would have wanted him to say, but I got the closure and the acknowledgement that this person valued me. And, you know, you just never know when you're going to get some of those things. So don't live for it. But when they come around, it's kind of nice.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Don't.
But I was going for a step further than closure. I was like, revenge. I will force these people. I will make them regret the day that they did this and this. I will make them regret the day that they didn't want to be friends with me anymore. I will, all those things. Like, I was so
our
deep.
Our minds go there.
I was so deep in that. And it's true, kind of what they say, when you let things go and stop trying to force or manipulate, you know, kind of you'll get what you're looking for. You just don't know when. And it might be 15 years later, but sometimes you never know when you're going to get that.
Yeah. So I think but
the point of that was you let go and you start living your own life and not living for the closure, but living for yourself.
Yes. I love that. And I was just going to say you beautiful, Michelle, because I was just going to say, so closure means, you know, identifying what it is that you need and letting go. For me, the definition of letting go is often when my mind would wander to the past or think about that is once I came to the decision of what I needed and really the only path maybe that I could take in this situation, I'd done everything that I possibly could do and all the things, you know, you know what you can and can't do. And once I came to the conclusion that I need to have closure here, I love that, Michelle. I'm not going to wait for the other person to give me the permission to have closure in my own life. What I did was the past is in the past. It's done. And letting go sounds so easy, but I mean, it makes it sound so easy, but it's not. So I always define letting go of bring yourself back to the present moment and put your attention on what am I doing right now in this moment? I'm having a really lovely life right now in this moment.
Right.
And every time my mind would say, but wait a minute, maybe you do this one more thing. And I would say, nope, we already did that. You know, beautiful mind, come back here to the present moment. Just really, really start to talk to yourself that way. Nope, come back to the moment. We're already closure, if you use that word closure. I don't really use that word closure. I just use that's done. That's in the past. And it's time to bring myself back to the present and use the wisdom that I learned from that experience to live my life fully in the present moment.
Mm-hmm. Love it. How do I stop people pleasing?
By caring more about what you think about yourself than other people. I think that's the issue. You have to have... This is an easy answer, but it's not an easy...
Okay.
This is an easy one in the head. I like to use that analogy. It takes nothing to bring something into the head, but it can take a lifetime sometimes to bring it down into the heart.
Yeah.
It's easy in the head. I don't like everybody, so why would everybody like me? I don't want to please everybody, so why would people like to please me? You know, like if we're really honest with ourselves, we don't like everyone.
Yeah.
We don't want to please everyone. It's certain people that we want to please out there that we run into or that we think matter. And what we're thinking is they matter more than we do. We think their opinion matters more than we do. We think they know better than we do. We think they're going to like us if we please them and do what they want us to do. We think if we become their puppet, really, because that's what we're trying to make ourselves be. I'm going to do what they want me to do. I want to please them because I want them to like me. Or I want them to do something for me. And for me, the only antidote to people pleasing has been to love and accept and trust myself completely. And so when I fall into a trap or I fall into a mindset of, ooh, I want that person to like me, or I want that person to think that I'm kind, or I want that person to do a certain thing for me. It's a red flag immediately now. And I say, wait a minute, what do you want, Barb? Who are you? What do you want in this situation? What feels aligned for you in this situation? So the phrase or the affirmation that I always use a lot if I find myself falling into a people-pleasing trap is remember who you are. Mm. Remember who you are. And that brings me into the moment and I think, okay, what is it about me that's not enough in this situation that I'm thinking I need to please this other person? Wait a minute, What are you feeling right now, Barb? Are you feeling like down a little bit? Are you low on energy? You're not feeling like you're worthy enough of just being exactly who you are. And if they're not for you, let them pass you by. Like if people aren't choosing you, you don't go chasing people to choose. You let people choose you and you choose people. But if you chose a person that's not going to choose you back or that is making you feel like you have to morph into something that you're not, or you've got to please them to make them understand what a good person you are or what a kind person you are. It never works. It absolutely never works and it's not worth the energy.
Yeah.
You know in your gut right away if a person is for you. So I would say start listening to your body and really try to, when the people pleasing rears its little head, just stop. And close your eyes if you can, but if you can't, and just try to see what is your felt sense in that moment? Like what are you feeling in that moment? wow, I'm feeling like I got to have that person because they're better than I am. I'm feeling like I got to know that person because maybe they can help me get somewhere where I want to go. I'm feeling this, ooh, this is not feeling really great, but you know what? I got to have it. You know, what is the desire that's happening inside of you that you feel that you have to please this other person?
Yeah, it's really hard though.
I know, I've noticed really
lately,
hard.
I kind of thought that I was beyond a lot of my people pleasing tendencies, but I'm realizing that I'm really not. And it's a really hard thing to let go of. And I hate confrontation and feeling like awkward and uncomfortable, especially if I'm disappointing someone or I feel like I'm disappointing someone and all of the feelings that would come along with that. And I think that's where a lot of my people pleasing comes into play. And it's just, it's hard.
It is hard. And I love you just said that because I know what you're talking about. Here's the thing too with that. What another little red flag, not a red flag, but a little tip. When I start to get into that people pleasing mode, and of course we're human beings. Everything I talk about doesn't mean that I don't ever do it again. Like we're not perfect. When I get into that, where I start to please someone because I don't like confrontations necessarily either, I give in. Okay. I mean, I don't mindfully give in. It just, I'm weak in that moment. So I give in. Let's just say I give in. Let's say you give in to a people pleasing moment. I promise you, I almost can promise you, or I'll promise you that this is what has happened to me every single time. The next iteration or the next interaction between me and the other person is fraught with some kind of chaos, mm-hmm. some kind of chaos. I'm like, oh my God, now I gotta fix it. And like always the second iteration or interaction with the person is fraught with chaos. So then listen to your body, listen to what's happening. Whoa, wait a minute. This is chaotic. I don't want to now turn my whole life upside down to try to please it. Wait, what just happened to me? And then I really stop and say, well, what just happened to you is, I'm really big on reflection. What just happened to me is that you were people pleasing here because you didn't really feel like it in the moment in the first place. Mm-hmm. So give yourself a break, give yourself grace, always be kind and loving to yourself. You're going to recognize it sooner or later. So when you do recognize it, say, wait a minute. Okay. Let me just step up here and take my power back, take my sense of self back, and let me learn to start listening more to my body. Yeah. I always listen to my body now. I don't always follow it, but I always listen to it. And rarely do I get past the second or the third iteration or interaction with the person without saying, okay, wait, let's just stop here.
So good, so hard, but so true.
Yeah. Well, all these are hard. Life is hard.
Yeah.
Relationships. Well, you always say this, Michelle. Relationships are our biggest assignment. It's the biggest thing we've been given in life.
Well, if we can, takes up every aspect of our time.
We're in relationship with everything, with people, with nature, with
ourselves.
And so, you know, I would just say with all of these questions, actually, you have to love yourself completely. You have to know that you're enough. You have to know that you're worthy. You have to work on looking at what is it about me that I'm not liking right now? How can I start to melt away all those things about me that I don't like so I can start loving myself? There's a lot of great stuff inside of all of us. There's a lot of beauty inside all of us. Start focusing your attention on what is beautiful and what is so wonderful and unique and loving about yourself. Put your attention there, and it's very hard. I use this affirmation a lot. I've been using it for decades, and I use this a lot, especially if I start falling into a situation where I'm not trusting myself enough. I'll close my eyes often, and I'll go into the bathroom if I can't just close my eyes where I am, and I'll just say, I love and trust myself completely. May I love and trust myself completely. Mm-hmm. Or even take the trust out if that's too much. Start, but the love is the most important. I love myself completely. It's a mantra. It's an affirmation. The more you say it, I love myself completely, it actually starts to transform you from the inside out.
Yeah.
You start to recognize, wow, this is really important that I love myself completely.
Yeah. You're right. So I think for the last one, the last question before we close, also in a similar vein, making confident decisions without being afraid of what other people think or without fear of judgment or disappointment. It's a similar, I think, answer with loving yourself enough to know that what you're choosing for yourself is the right choice. But I think confidence, I don't know if we're born with confidence, but I think confidence is a muscle that we have to work every day. And if we don't engage it for a period of time, it can atrophy.
Here's what's happened for me. It's very interesting that we're ending on this question because it's only been recently on one of my retreats. You know, when you're in silence for 30 days, a lot comes up. And one of my retreats was confidence. And it was one of the things that I was working with in this vein, that if I'm not loving myself completely, or I'm thinking that I'm not worthy, or I'm thinking that I didn't do enough, or I'm thinking that I'm the problem, or I'm thinking that I'm the blame. I mean, growing up in an alcoholic home and having all of the trauma that I've had, it's so easy sometimes for me to fall into that if I'm at a moment where I'm not strong or I'm not confident or I'm not being resilient, because we're not that all the time. And so it came to me, Barb, when you're feeling not confident, when you're feeling not resilient, when you're feeling like you're not enough, when you're feeling you're unworthy, start putting your attention in the areas of your life where you are. How often do we bypass sometimes the areas where we are confident, where we are doing a great job, where we are pretty spectacular in the role that we're playing as ourselves in life? And I've been doing this for the past couple of months. I've been recognizing every time I've done something where I've had so much confidence or I've had so much love, I've thought, well, I really love this experience. I really love this about myself. Look at this. And so really recognize it. We're so quick to recognize what we do wrong. We're so quick to recognize that, oh, we could have done this better. Oh my gosh, what do they think of me? Mm-hmm. How often do we actually take a pause and say, I really love how I handled that situation. Proud of you, Barb. That was great confidence.
That's very true.
Or I really love how you woke up today and handled the traffic, because traffic can be a big teacher for me. Yeah. You have a lot of resilience and a lot of fortitude and patience. That's, you're really patient. I did something today. I know I can't even remember what it was. I did something today and I thought, oh no, I forgot to do this though. And then in that same moment, I thought, oh, wait a minute. Yes, I did it. You're so smart, Barb.
That's very nice.
You know, because as a child, I was told that I wasn't smart at all. So just finding, really acknowledging, calling out the times in your life that you've succeeded, or that you've got a smile on your face at what you've just done.
Celebrating your wins.
Beautiful, Michelle. I think for me, this experience in the past few months has been very transformational, because the more that I highlight that I am loving, I am caring, I am worthy, I am enough, I can be very confident, I can be very skillful, I can be very successful, I can be very wise, I can be smart, I can be all those things that I look at other people and say, how are they so great? And I'm the way that I am, or whatever it is that we do in life. Start highlighting all of the places where you are very confident and acknowledging it to yourself and giving yourself a little pat on the back.
I love that. That's a great point to close on. You deserve to give yourself a pat on the back.
Well, because how else do we cultivate confidence except by doing and seeing that we are confident? Yeah. I mean, isn't that what life is about? How else do we put an end to suffering except by suffering? How else do we put an end to anything except by experiencing it and saying, okay, wow. So why couldn't it be the good as well? How else do we cultivate confidence by knowing, wow, I just aced that presentation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm truly amazing. And that is not egotistical.
Mm-hmm.
I promise you, it's not egotistical. It's necessary. Don't wait for other people to tell you're amazing. Tell yourself you're amazing.
Love it.
I love it too. Thank you, Michelle. This was wonderful.
So good. Thank you so much for those questions. And
I think we have more to answer. We could do another episode of this.
We have lots more. But it was a good time.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, everyone.
And thank you for sharing, Mom.
Well, thank you for your vulnerability, Michelle, and everyone listening and everyone that wrote in questions. We'll get to your question eventually, but thank you for your vulnerability. Thank you for trusting us to talk about your topics on there and share our life experiences with you. I love you all so much, and you bring a lot of joy and light to our lives.
Yes, I co-sign that sentiment, Mother. Thank you so much for listening, friends, and for writing in questions and for being so supportive of the show. If you haven't yet, please make sure you're liked and subscribed to the podcast wherever you listen to podcasts, Apple, Google, Spotify, so you're always up to date on each new episode. And if you haven't yet, give us a 5-star rating and leave us a review. We appreciate it, and we're so grateful when you all do so. If you want to stay in touch with us, ask us questions, or submit podcast topic requests, make sure you're following us at Peaceful Barb, at Michelle Maros, at Barb Knows Best Pod. That is the best way to do so. Lastly, there is a link in the show notes for our newsletter to stay up to date with all of the fun things that we have planned. So if you haven't yet subscribed, click the link. Thank you so much again for listening. Thank you, Mom. And we will chat with you next week because, as we know, Barb knows best. Bye.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.